It is interesting to read accounts of events as witnessed by different writers. The same event may bring forth radically different reports or accounts. And this reminds me of the old fable from India. It goes something like this. Once upon a time, there lived six blind men in a village. One day, the villagers told them, "Hey, there's an elephant in the village today." Now, they had no idea what an elephant is. They decided, even though we would not be able to see it, let us go and feel it anyway. All of them went where the elephant was, and every one of them touched the elephant. "Hey, the elephant is a pillar," said the first man who touched his leg. "Oh, no, no, no. It's like a rope," said the second man who touched the tail. "Oh, no, 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 you're all wrong. It's like a thick branch of a tree," said the third man who touched the trunk of the elephant. "What's the matter with you all?" "It's like a big hand fan," said the fourth man who touched the ear of the elephant. "It's like a huge wall," said the fifth man who touched the belly of the elephant. "You're all wrong. You're all wrong. It's like a solid pipe," said the sixth man who touched the tusk of the elephant. Now they began to argue. They argued about the elephant, and every one of them insisted that he was right. It looked like they were getting so agitated that a wise man passing by and saw all this. He stopped and asked them, "What's the matter?" They said, "We cannot agree to what an elephant is like." Each one of them told what he had thought the elephant was like. The wise man calmly explained to them, "You know, all of you are right. The reason every one of you is telling it differently because each of you touched the different part of the elephant. So actually, the elephant has all those features which you all have said." "Oh, actually, the elephant has all those features." Everyone said, "Oh, my." And there was no more fight. They all felt happy that they were all right. You know, this is often the case for the events that we witness and that we record, or the case in how we view it from what perspective we may take. The personal perspective is what may cloud what we hear and see. Even if thought to be viewed from a purely objective manner, we cannot avoid our personal mindset. It is the same when we read or listen to accounts of events. For we become selective in what we retain and as to what we may think is important. This was most certainly true with the gospel writers in recording the life of Jesus. We see this in particular when it comes to the story of the Nativity. Now, Matthew's account was with a strong Jewish perspective of recognizing the Messiah nature of the Jesus' birth. This is why he related the story of the wise men who came to pay homage to the newborn Jewish king, the long-awaited Messiah. His account was written almost in a journalistic fashion with historical background information and the facts of the event from his Jewish perspective. Now Luke wrote his account from his own common life perspective. The stories leading up to the nativity and what followed were about particular verifiable people of an extended family of a more common means. But like Matthew, he tends to write the facts of the story as he knew them. To him, it was an important event to be recorded and shared. It was the introduction of the evolving message of the Son of Man, according to Luke. A different kind of Messiah, which would relate to the world beyond the Jews. Now Mark, on the other hand, for one reason or another, did not record any account of the Nativity. He instead began his gospel with John the Baptist and Jesus' baptism. He begins, "The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him.'" It is only speculation as to why Mark left out the Nativity. Matthew, Mark, and Luke write in terms of a historic narrative with a careful timeline of events, even if they were still wrote from their own perspective and purpose. A perspective of the Jewish background of the Messiah. Now, this was not the case with John. John did not write his gospel to be a historic narrative, but to be a more personal encounter with the divinity of Jesus. He did not write his gospel to promote or find meaning through Jewish thought and reason, such as any concept of the Jewish Messiah. He wrote to have Jesus' message understood and believed by all of the ancient world. His gospel, therefore, followed a more theological and philosophical view than any historic timeline of true Jewish tradition. Therefore, he begins his gospel with a theological view of the Nativity, which found a common denominator among the Greeks as well as the Jews. The common denominator was word, or logos. To the Greek and to the Jew alike, word was more than a description of the formulation of letters. The word had life. The word had power to create and to transform the world in which it was spoken. This is quite clear in the creation story. We read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light." It was God's word that created the power of word. Throughout the story, the Genesis story of creation, it was God's word. And God said, created all of life. The Word was not only the constant power of life and living, but also was the bearer of truth and wisdom. This was true with both the Jew and the Greek. Therefore, the term Word of God was commonly used to replace the name of God. The living God manifested itself in the Word and became inseparable from one's thinking of God. The Word and God were inseparable. This is why John begins his gospel in an introduction of the Nativity. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. He was in the beginning with God. John's reference to the Word becomes He. This sends a signal that the Word was more than the traditional theology of God. There was a significant relevance to the term Word, which was truly living in the presence, the present as well as the past. It is at this point that God gives reason for the Word to take on new relevance and significance. It was because the Word of God, even though being active in and among His chosen people, it was not understood by His chosen people. He was in the world, and the world came into being through Him. Yet the world did not know Him. He came to what was His own, and His own people did not accept Him. The Word was not understood. It was misunderstood. And this is why there was the need for another approach, and the reason for the Nativity. Notice, there is no indication in any way that God's intent through John was that of a traditional Jewish Messiah. Nothing to indicate that. John clearly sets the record straight from the very beginning of the need for the incarnation of the Word, the Nativity, and not a political Messiah. It was no indication, no confusion at all, as it was in the other Gospels. He then gives his account of the birth of Jesus. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen His glory, the glory as a Father's only Son, full of grace. The reason for the incarnation then follows. From His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace upon grace. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, he wrote. Jesus came so as to fulfill the law, for the Word was beyond the law. The Word would be the message that God's love through grace was the true nature of His relationship with His creation, not through fear under the law. God, through the Nativity, revealed the living Word. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made Him known. The Word became flesh through Jesus. The Word was not to be misunderstood then, for the Word was God's love. John clearly relates why we celebrate the Nativity and gives the true message behind the stories found in both Matthew and Luke. This is the good news of the angel. For it is the news that Jesus was the Savior of all mankind and gives everyone the peace and hope for God's eternal loving presence within our lives. This is the true meaning of the Nativity. And this is what John presented. The Word was made flesh. Amen.